Gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for this time to come and worship you and bow before you, as the song says. Indeed, Father, you are the only one, Jesus Christ, the only one who died for us, the only one who could have. We thank you, Father, for that great day on Calvary, when at the cross our sins were washed and forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. I thank you, Father, for your word. For 4,000 years, men have been studying and reading and benefiting from your word, and no less today as we gather to worship you and worship you in your word. I pray, Father, that we would be well nourished and well fed by a steady diet of your word. And so we come this day to worship you, to honor you, to learn of you that we might mimic you. We thank you, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. In our series on redemptive history, you might remember last week, as we were just approaching the Garden of Gethsemane on Wednesday night, the week of Passover, and we had watched how Jesus presented himself in the temple on Sunday. We call Palm Sunday, the first day of the 4 days that the Lamb of God has to be observed. And so as we went through those 4 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and watched how the Lamb was preserved, but demonstrated in the temple grounds every day that he was perfect and without blemish. And then they gathered Wednesday evening for their Passover supper. In the spring of the year, Jesus leading up to his final week on this planet as the Son of God, Son of Man, for a season. And so we started into the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas had already been dismissed. And now, in the distance, a rumble. The soldiers were coming. I had to stop there because I couldn't remember the rest of the story. Go home and read it. And so today we pick up in the Garden of Gethsemane as Jesus has presented himself as the worthy, unblemished, perfect Lamb of God. But today we're going to do a little different. Instead of choosing a text and going through it, I'm going to read an article to you. A friend of mine in Texas wrote this article. He had asked me to edit it for him. And so we've been using this article for the last 10 or 12 years in our Tres Dias journeys. So I would like for you to listen today as I read this article. After we play a song, then there will be a screenshot up there. I'm going to be in the back so that I don't distract you. I want you to just watch the screenshot and consider what I'm reading to you. And then after that, we'll have a song that I may sing to you and a dismissal.
Scorn of those who cried out for his death. este día en Jerusalén. Los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús, mas la gente se acercaba para ver al que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la vida dolorosa, es la vida del dolor, como deja vino Cristo, Rey y Señor. Y fue Él quien quiso ir por su amor, por ti, por mí, por la vida dolorosa, al caballo.
The first day in the life of any Christian began 2,000 years ago. Have you ever stopped to consider the torturous agony that Christ endured for you and for me? I'm not talking about the cross only, but before he was nailed to the cross. Following his midnight arrest, Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin and Caiaphas, the high priest, for questioning. It was there the first physical trauma was inflicted. The torture began. For his silence before Caiaphas, a soldier struck Jesus across the face. The palace guards then blindfolded him and mockingly taunted him to identify them as each one repeatedly spat in his face and struck him. Then, early in the morning, battered, bruised, dehydrated, and exhausted from a sleepless night, Jesus was marched across Jerusalem to Pontius Pilate. However, Pilate, not anxious to get caught up in Jewish religious debates, attempted to pass his responsibility to Herod, the governor of Galilee. Herod now mocked Jesus, throwing a royal robe around his shoulders and urged him to perform one of his miracle tricks for him. When he tired of his sport, Herod returned him to Pilate. Pilate wanted to have Jesus scourged and released, but the mob cried out for his death. When he tried to release Jesus, they threatened to accuse him to Caesar for not properly defending the emperor against this pretender who claimed to be the king of the Jews. Thus, to appease them, Pilate ordered Barabbas released and condemned Jesus to be scourged and crucified. Immediately, the soldiers prepared Jesus for his beating. First, they stripped him of his clothing. Then they raised his hands above his head and tied them to a post. A Roman legionnaire stepped forward, wielding a short whip, the dreaded cat of nine tails, fashioned from nine heavy leather thongs with two small balls of lead attached near the end of each. And without hesitation, the soldier brought the heavy whip down full force across Jesus' shoulders, his back, and his legs, again and again and again, at least 39 times. At first, the heavy thongs and the small balls of lead produced large, deep bruises which were broken open by subsequent blows. The helpless prisoner cried out in agony from the unrelenting stings. The heavy thongs shredded the skin, and blood oozed from the long red welts welling up on his back. As the beating continued, the whip tore deeper into the flesh. Blood began spurting from torn vessels and gaping gashes in the underlying muscles. Soon, the skin hung in long shreds, and the entire back was an unrecognizable mass of torn, bleeding flesh. Finally, when the centurion in charge determined that Jesus was near death, he ceased the beating. The half-conscious Jesus was untied and allowed to slump to the stone pavement in a pool of his own blood. The Roman soldiers were greatly amused that this provincial Jew claimed to be a king. So they threw a robe across his shoulders and placed a stick in his hand for a scepter. Ah, but they needed a crown to make their mockery complete. So from the firewood, a soldier selected several flexible branches covered with long thorns, plaited them into a crown, and pressed it down onto his head, shoving the long thorns into his scalp. Blood flowed freely down Jesus' head and face, matting his hair in crimson clumps. After mocking him and striking him in the face, the soldiers took the stick from his hand and struck him repeatedly in the head, driving the thorns deeper into his scalp. Finally, they tired of their sadistic sport and tore away the robe which had already adhered to the blood clots on his back, reopening the bloody wounds with searing pain. Then the Romans returned his own garments to him. Next, the soldiers tied a heavy beam across his shoulders, and despite his debilitating thirst and his overwhelming exhaustion, they forced him to carry it to the place of his execution outside the city. Behold the sorry procession of the execution detail of Roman soldiers, two thieves, and the condemned Christ as it wends its slow journey along the Via Dolorosa. Jesus struggled to walk, but the weight of the heavy wooden beam, coupled with his weakness from the enormous loss of blood, was just too great a burden. He stumbled and fell. The rough wood of the beam gouged the raw flesh of his shoulders. He tried to rise, but his strength had been pushed beyond endurance. The centurion, anxious to get on with the crucifixion, selected a stalwart North African onlooker, Simon of Cyrene, to carry the cross. Jesus staggered along after him. Still bleeding, he began shaking, his face covered with the cold, clammy sweat of shock. Finally, the grueling 650-yard journey from the fortress to Golgotha was completed. The soldiers ordered Simon to place the crossbeam on the ground. Next, the soldiers stripped Jesus, except for a loincloth, which is allowed the Jews, and began to crucify him. They thrust him backward violently, his shoulders against the wood. The legionnaire felt for the depression in Jesus' wrist, placed a heavy square nail there, raised his hammer, and with gut-wrenching blows, drove the nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Jesus cried out in agony. Quickly, the soldier moved to the other side and repeated his horrible task, carefully leaving the arms loose enough to permit some flexion and movement. After that, he placed the left foot against the right and drove a long, large nail through both, leaving the knees moderately flexed. Jesus was now crucified. When they lifted the cross, it fell into place, wrenching his shoulders out of joint, evoking another cry of excruciating pain. At the top of the cross above his head, they nailed a board proclaiming his crime. "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Jesus slowly sagged. As he put more weight on the nails in his wrists, piercing, fiery pain shot along his fingers and up his arms to explode in his brain. As he struggled to push himself upward to avoid the stretching torment, he placed his full weight on the nail through his feet. Again, there is the explosive pain of the nail tearing and scraping against the nerves and bones of his feet. Gradually, as his arms fatigued, waves of cramps surged through his muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. After these seizures began, he was no longer able to push himself up to get a breath of air. Jesus hung from the nails in his wrists, his chest muscles paralyzed, unable to respond. He gasped for air. It can be drawn into the lungs, but it cannot be exhaled. Finally, carbon dioxide built up in his lungs and blood, causing the cramps to subside somewhat. Spasmodically, he was able to inch himself upward to exhale and bring in gas of life-giving air. It was during these periods that he uttered the seven short sayings.
Abba! Forgive them. They don't know what they do.
And to the penitent thief,
truly, this day, you will be with me in paradise.
And to Mary, his mother,
here is your son.
And to John, the beloved apostle,
Elkanon, behold your mother.
And then from the 22nd Psalm. After hours of torture, cycles of twisting, joint rendering cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation and soaring pain from flesh being torn from his lacerated back as he moved up and down against the rough timber, yet another agony started. Jesus began to experience a deep, crushing pain as his chest cavity slowly filled with fluid, which compressed his heart. Now, it was almost over. The loss of blood and water had reached a critical level. His compressed heart struggled to pump the heavy, thick, sluggish blood through the tissues. His tortured lungs frantically gasped for air. Meanwhile, his severely dehydrated muscles sent a flood of stimuli to the brain. Jesus rasped his fifth cry. I thirst. And then a soldier soaked a sponge in a cheap, drugged wine and lifted it to his lips. But Jesus refused to drink. Jesus was now at the point of death. He could feel its chill creeping through the limbs. This realization evoked a tortured cry. It is finished. It was his sixth utterance. His mission of atonement for my sin and yours had been completed. Finally, the icy fingers of death gripped his body. With one last surge of strength, he pressed his torn feet against the nail, straightened his legs, took a deep breath, and loudly uttered his seventh and final cry. Into your hands, I give my spirit. Crucified my Lord. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Will you stand with me, please? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the
Lord, we thank you for this reminder of the extent of your love for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this biblical account of your final moments of life. Lord, we know that you could have rallied the angels, come off and conquered this small contingent of Roman soldiers. But Lord, from the very foundation of the world, your plan was to give the ultimate sacrifice, this lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We thank you for what you did, the cost you paid for our sins. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.